Amen, right? How many people in here are on a journey to meet, know, and follow Jesus? Raise your hand. Is that you? Welcome. We're doing this together. Stand with me this morning as we read the word of the Lord. So welcome to a very special day today. It's going to be a pretty special service. I need you guys to kind of put on your seatbelts. We're going to go on a very important journey this morning and a very personal journey this morning, I think, for many of us, as we need to hear the voice of Jesus. This is kind of the theme for the next few weeks of the teaching that we're going to be doing here. Peter says this in 1 Peter 3:15. So in the midst of Peter's epistle, he says these words. He says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." Sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you. And do this with gentleness and with reverence. It's beautiful. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. God's calling you to a life, isn't he? So be worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort, my brothers and sisters, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Father, we love you and we praise you this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives. Father, I ask, God, that you would send a fresh blowing of your Holy Spirit upon our hearts this morning and upon this place. We ask, God, that your will would be done in our lives today, that you would speak into our lives today. We ask, God, that you would do this now in the mighty name and the glory of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Amen. Okay, and now you can take it easy and grab a seat. So I need to ask, how's your New Year's resolutions going so far? How you doing? How you doing, right? Have you hit the gym? Have you? See, I've been, one of my New Year's resolutions is to lose weight. That's why I shaved my goatee. I am serious about this. I'm going to lose weight. I've been hitting the gym, and I've been walking, and I have no sugar. I'm like doing the no sugar thing, and some people are doing the no alcohol thing. Well, I don't drink alcohol anyway, so that one's kind of easy for me, but there's all these things out, hey, don't drink alcohol for a month, and look how much better your health will be. You know, how's your New Year's resolutions going? How are you doing? It's only, you guys, it's the second week of a new year. Yeah, 11 days. It's just 11 days. How you doing? It's kind of crazy, because Pastor Vince, you know, I told him that he started his New Year's resolutions like second, third week into December, and he's hitting the gym, and he says he's trying to do better, and he says, I've still got to do this, right? So, hey, here's the deal. Whatever those New Year's resolutions are, God bless you. Most people make New Year's resolutions to make their life better, not worse. You didn't make a New Year's resolution to drink more in 2026, did you? You didn't make a New Year's resolution to put on more body fat. That's not your goal. You know, everybody that makes these things, they want to be healthier. These are good things. I challenged you last Sunday to put on your list of New Year's resolutions to sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart. This is what the Apostle Peter asks us. He says, sanctify Christ as the Lord over your heart. And that is an attitude. It's to wake up and say, Jesus, good morning. You are the Lord and I am not. And I want to sanctify you in my heart, that you are the most important thing in my life. And this is the message of last Sunday in Luke chapter 14, when Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us as he's the Lord, you people. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Will you allow him, will you give him your heart and say, Jesus, this is my heart. You're the Lord over my heart. And with that, you get everything that you live for comes through your heart. The scripture says that how you live your life flows from your heart. So if Jesus is the Lord of your heart, then he's the Lord over your actions and your thoughts and your behaviors. And I'm so grateful. Many of you said, Pastor Frank, I'm with you. I'm going to make Jesus, sanctify him, set apart. Sanctify means to set apart, to honor, to say, you are my king and you are the Lord of my heart. It's an attitude of the heart. It's not an attitude of perfection. You can't give God perfection. I cannot give my wife perfection. I cannot be the perfect husband, but I can give her my heart. And she has my heart. I want to do as best as I can, but it flows from the heart. And many of you said, I'm in. And I'm really challenging you. Make Christ the Lord of your heart in 2026. The best life you could live is by giving Christ control of your heart. You will have a better year in 2026 if you would just do that. And it's an attitude of the heart. I challenge you to do that. And many of you said, I'm in. So for those of you that are here going, Jesus is the Lord of my heart. Every day, by the way, it's an attitude. Every day I wake up and say, Lord, you're the Lord today. So if Jesus is going to take the lordship of your heart, what would Jesus tell you to do with this? If the Lord is the Lord of your heart, what would he tell you to do with all the baggage of your past? How many of you brought in this into 2026? All the stuff, all the emotional wounds and baggage and hurts that people have done in your life. Do you carry this along with you and just tow it behind you? If Jesus is the Lord of your heart, what would Jesus tell you to do with your past? Is he the Lord of your past? Yes or no? If he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of all the stuff that's happened to you, what would Jesus tell you to do about it? Here's some, I want to shoot these up and see if they ring a bell with you. Kind of check these out. Just a few quotes. Some people are holding grudges against you for things they did to you. Does that ring a bell with anybody in here? How about this one? Here's another one. There comes a time to stop trying to make things right with people that won't own their part in what went wrong. See, when I read these, they ring in my life. How about this one? When you finally learn that a person's behavior has more to do with their own internal struggles than it ever did with you, you learn grace. People hurt you, and you begin to look and go, you know, man, that's just coming. Wounded people wound others. And to finally learn how to process that. And I think I got one more for you. Most of the scars, I love this one, on people's hearts weren't left by their enemies. They were left by the people that claimed to love them the most. Sometimes the people that hurt us the most are disguised as family. Aren't they? Does this ring true for anybody? Did any one of those go, oh yeah? Has anyone ever lied about you, slandered you, did evil against you, broke trust with you? This is all emotional baggage. So does Jesus know about that? Yes or no? Yes. Totally does. What would he tell you to do? Ignore it. Get him back. Make him feel pain. Vengeance is yours. Get him. Is that what Jesus would tell you to do? If these people that hurt you are Christians and claim the name of Jesus, did you know that Jesus would tell you to lovingly go talk to them? Did you know that? I want you to take a hard look this morning at Matthew chapter 18, as we're in 15 through 17. And this is what it says. It says, if another believer sins against you, if another believer sins against you, beat him up. No. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out their offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won the person back. Right? But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And if the person still refuses to listen, then take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a non-believer or somebody who works for the IRS. Okay? Actually, a tax collector. So if Jesus is the Lord of your past and you have baggage and there are people that hurt you that claim the name of Jesus, they claim that Jesus is the Lord of their life, what does Jesus tell you to do? He tells you to go talk to those people. And this is note number one. If you're going to sanctify the Lord of your heart, then he's the Lord of your past. And if you're going to make Jesus the Lord of your past, then that means you need to listen to him about stuff that's happened to you in your past. And Jesus would tell you that if a believer hurt you, you need to communicate with them and seek understanding and reconciliation. Jesus says to go privately, one-on-one. It's nobody else's business. Tell them they hurt you. Maybe they meant to hurt you, and maybe they didn't. But Jesus would tell you to communicate with them. Tell them this is what you saw. This is how you felt. Are you guys aware that Jesus says this? Did you know that this scripture is in the Bible? That this is his commandment to you? Are you aware of it? Are you good at doing it? Nobody's good at doing this. It's easier to ignore it. It's easier to let it stew. Nobody's good at this because when this happens to you, there's emotions involved and you get angry and you feel offended. And you are. It says when somebody sinned against you. Jesus commands you, if you don't want to carry baggage around, then you need to deal with your baggage. And if people have hurt you and they claim to be Christians, he commands you to go talk to them privately and tell them, this is what I see, this is how I feel, to lovingly talk to them. Nobody's good at this. I'm not good at this. That's why I love the book of Philemon. One of the shortest books in the Bible. One of the shortest books in your Bible is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a brother named Philemon about a slave named Onesimus. This book is about a conflict between two Christians. So here's the situation. I need to kind of explain this to you. This book in the Bible, it's beautiful because Paul is dealing between issues between two Christians. And he writes this book. So this is the story. Onesimus, back in the Roman days, slavery existed. Slavery existed for many reasons. The Romans conquered a lot of people. When they conquered people, they made those people slaves of the Roman Empire. This is what happened to the Jewish people. That's why they were all taken out of Palestine or out of Israel. There's lots of slaves in the Roman Empire. Some of them were there because of conquest. Some of them was indentured servants. Some of them ran up debts. And they couldn't pay their debts. And so now they have to be slaves to the ones. Imagine if you couldn't pay your Chase credit card. You don't get to go into bankruptcy. You have to show up to Chase and you got to work off your debt. Some of them were indentured servants. Some of them were of military conquest. There were slaves in the Roman Empire. Paul doesn't, he just recognizes it exists. He doesn't say it's a good thing, but he says it's here, it's real. Here's the deal. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, who was the owner, he was a member of the church at Colossae. And Onesimus runs away, which is illegal, runs to Rome, meets Paul, the apostle. Paul tells him about Jesus. Onesimus accepts Christ. He becomes a Christian. He sanctifies Christ as Lord of his heart. So what now should Onesimus do? Okay? As a Christian now. By the way, his owner's a Christian. So Paul tells Onesimus, you need to go back and make things right. And here's a letter I'm writing to you. I want you to hand this letter to Philemon. Okay? So can you imagine in Colossae, there's a knock at the door. Philemon opens the door and there's his slave. All the emotions that went, and he hands him a letter. This letter is in your Bible. He opens the letter. It says, hello, my dear brother. It's from Paul. Paul's the one that brought him to Christ. And when you read that letter, people, it's beautiful. In that letter, Paul honors Philemon as a brother in Christ. He honors him as a man of God. And he isn't fluffing him up. He's telling him, I know who you are, and you're a good man. And then in the next paragraph, he says, I realize that there's a situation here. This person left you, and he was no good to you, and he was no good to himself, but now he is a Christian, and he is your brother in Christ. And I, Paul, ask you to take him back. And if he owes you anything, I want you to put it on my account, and I'll pay for it. And then Paul, when you read it, it says, and Paul says, and FYI, I'm the one that gave you Jesus. That one's kind of cool. And then he honors him again. It's a beautiful letter. I love the letter of Philemon. It's all about Christian conflict between believers in the first century. Conflict. You know, you guys, when I read Matthew 18 and I know that Jesus is telling me I need to go privately and talk to somebody, a lot of times I'll write a letter to him and I'll pray for the Holy Spirit to help me write a letter. And in the letter, I try to honor them as my brother or sister in Christ. And in the letter, next paragraph, I tell them, hey, this is what I saw and this is how it made me feel. I feel, you know, we need to talk about this because I'm commanded, right? And then I honor him in the third paragraph and I say, when can we get together to talk about this? The cool thing about a letter is nobody can argue with a letter. You can't argue with a letter, it's just there. That's what I do. Because nobody's good at this. But God commands you to deal with this. If you've got baggage, and this baggage that you're carrying around is from people who claim the name of Jesus, Jesus commands you to go talk to them privately as two people in Christ and deal with this. How you go about doing that, he says you need to do it privately, and if you need help, then bring help. But it needs to be dealt with. And for me, people, I love Philemon. It's a brilliant piece of work. It's just a great tool that I've used, that I think the Holy Spirit's helped me to use to navigate me in hard discussions with people. And the goal, by the way, is always to bring reconciliation and peace. Here's a great verse, and this one's in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, that means that Jesus has been sanctified as Lord of your heart, and now you are under his authority. and he's the Lord of your life, it's like you're now a prisoner of his. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling that you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient. Bearing, when you bear something, that means you're carrying the load. Bearing with one another, be patient, gentle, patient as you're bearing. You're carrying something. It's not easy dealing with other people. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I love this. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. If you're in conflict with another believer who says they're a Christian, be patient, be humble, bear it, and deal with it. This stuff happens. It happened a long time ago in the early church, and it happens today. And Jesus commands you to talk with them to seek understanding in love. He commands you to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace as much as it's up to you. Why does Jesus want you to work it out? Does anyone know? For your own good? And for the good of the church. Because if this is in the church, and you got people fighting with each other in the body of Christ, it causes division. That's why Jesus wants you to work it out. And FYI, you're going to live with these people a really long time, called eternity. And if you don't figure out how to deal with it here, do you want him pulling you aside up there? Get over here after you've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the morning star, and then finally the Lord says, I need the two of you over here. The principal, that's embarrassing. He commands you to deal with it now for your own good and for the good of the body of Christ. That's why he wants you to work it out. And it should be worked out. So if people are believers, you should talk to them about this. What if they're not believers? What would Jesus tell you? Beat them up. No. He would still tell you to seek reconciliation and peace with them. Romans 12:18 is beautiful. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Wow. Everyone, not just the believers in Christ, everyone. You should live at peace with everybody as much as it depends on you. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Be a peacemaker, people, as much as it's up to you. And that's note number two. If a non-believer hurt you, communicate with them and seek understanding and reconciliation as much as it's up to you. This is the Jesus way. It's just what it is. This is what Jesus would tell you to do with this. Okay? He commands you to do it this way. Here's a great quote. I love this one. You're not grown. How many people in here are grown? Would you consider yourself a grown-up? Well, you're not a grown-up until you know how to communicate, apologize, be truthful, and accept accountability without blaming someone else. This is called maturity. It's called being an adult. It's called adulting. This is why Jesus wants you to work it out. And if people don't repent, what would Jesus tell you to do? Forgive them. Matthew 18 is interesting. In Matthew 18, as Jesus was teaching this, one of Jesus' disciples heard what he was saying, that if you have something against a brother in Christ, you need to go talk to him about it. One of Jesus' disciples in Matthew 18 heard what he was saying, and this brother, Peter, had a problem with one of the 12 disciples, Matthew, who worked for the IRS. See, Peter didn't like Matthew. Matthew stole from Peter. Peter was a businessman in Capernaum. Matthew was a tax collector for the Roman government in Capernaum. And tax collectors skimmed off the top. Matthew stole from Peter as a businessman. And I am very sure that Peter was not happy when Jesus called Matthew to be his disciple. And there's conflict. When Jesus was teaching within the body of Christ, if you have something against a brother, you need to go with them one-on-one, 201, 301. And if they don't repent, then treat him as a tax collector. He was talking to Peter because Peter's struggling with Matthew. It's funny how he said tax collector, right? And you know, Matthew's thinking about this. And he's been stewing on this in the same chapter. In the same chapter after Jesus said this, Peter comes up to Jesus and says, how many times should I forgive somebody who sinned against me? What's the limit? Seven? Huh. Peter had baggage with Matthew. I promise you. He didn't like him. He kept him a far side. And Jesus says, deal with it. Matthew chapter 18, 21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? And forgive him up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven, multiplication. Not addition or subtraction, multiplication, right? Peter was shocked. The rabbis of the day said, forgive people three times. He thought, Jesus, you're better than anyone else. How about seven? Jesus says, 70 times seven. Peter's stunned. He's stunned. And then it's really cool because Jesus knows that Peter's struggling with the topic that we're talking about today. So you know what Jesus does? Jesus does what he always does. He told a story to drive home a point. The greatest storyteller on planet Earth, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus tells him a story. So here's the story. You've heard it before. It's always good to hear truth, my brother and sister. Matthew 18, 23 to 27. 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me. I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and says, I forgive you of your debt. Jesus gives a story. The dollar amount of what this person owed is something like $220 million in our times. This guy had no chance to repay it. Would any of you be able to repay $220 million if you had a debt today? Would you be a slave the rest of your life paying that one off? And yet you said, I'll repay it, please. Man, I feel compassion on you. It's forgiven. Is that the end of the story? See, Jesus is giving a story. Peter's struggling with Matthew. And Matthew sinned against Peter. Do you think, by the way, Matthew said, I'm sorry? I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. Is Matthew still a tax collector for the Romans? No, he's a disciple of Jesus. But Peter, how many times should I forgive him, Lord? Look, Peter, let me tell you a story. Matthew 18, 31 through 35. So when his fellow slaves saw what happened, oh wait, by the way, what am I doing here? Here we go. Okay, here we go. Matthew 18, 28 through 30. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and begged him, please, pleaded with him, saying, have patience with me, for I will repay you. But he was unwilling, and he went and threw him in prison until he should pay back all that was owed him. So here's this dude that's been forgiven $200 million, and here's a guy that owes him $1,000. And he has this dude thrown in jail. He doesn't give mercy. Is that right? Third part of the story. Jesus is telling Peter a story. Matthew 18, 31 through 35. So when his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord. Who's the Lord? Who's the Lord of your life? Jesus. They're reporting to the authority, the Lord. They reported to the Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slaves in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord was moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And my heavenly Father will also do the same to you, Peter, if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Are you listening, Peter? You need to forgive Matthew from your heart. And you're struggling. So Jesus gives a story, and in the story, who's the king? The king is the Lord. Who is the person that was forgiven? It's Peter. In the story, who are you? You're the one that's been forgiven. In the story, you have been forgiven. How much have you been forgiven? All your debts. In the story, you're the forgiven people. And the king commands you to forgive others as you've been forgiven. He commands you. And notice in Jesus' teaching, if you don't forgive, guess who's opposed to you? God. Does anybody want God opposed to you for 2026? I want to enter 2026 and have God totally opposed to me. Is that your plan? Do you realize that if you don't forgive somebody, God is not with you. He's opposed to you. Note number three, write this down. Jesus says that forgiven people are expected to forgive others. Jesus tells us that forgiven people, he expects people that are forgiven to forgive other people. Let it go. People who've been shown mercy and forgiveness are expected to show mercy and forgiveness. Period. even if the other people do not deserve it, and maybe they don't. You know, here's a great verse. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. You should memorize that verse. Let all bitterness and wrath. Are you wrathful? See, this is what this is. It's called emotional baggage. Are you bitter at people? Are you wrathful at people? Do you have clamor? You just talk poorly about these people? Put it away from you. Let it go. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving these people as God has forgiven. How much debt have you been forgiven in the hand of God? Your debt's still accumulating. Do you know that? You're going to sin tomorrow, you're going to sin today, and you're going to sin next Tuesday. When he died on the cross, he paid for it all, past, present, and future. He washes you clean. And he's forgiven you of all your debts. Do you know what happens to people that lets all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from them with all malice? Do you know what happens to people like this? Freedom. Jesus says, I have come to set you free, and you shall be free indeed. What God wants for you is this, not to control your life. And if you give him the lordship of your heart and give him the lordship of your past, he'll tell you to deal with it. But what he wants from you is to be set free from your past. I've told this story and I tell it all the time because Jesus taught this to me very deeply when I was 22 years old. As a young man, 2 years old in the life, in my walk with Jesus, I found myself as a young man going to Israel to study. As a young Christian man, I went to the Jerusalem Center for Biblical Studies, and I was there and studied. And I went, at the time, there was a guy named Abe that was my roommate. Abe was 66 years old. Abe, good Jewish name. He was a Jew who has accepted Christ. He's messianic now. He believes in Yeshua or Jesus. And Abe was my roommate. So here's a 22-year-old who I've been following Jesus for 2 years. And here's this guy. And we're together saying, we just want to learn. And Abe told me a story. See, Abe was a guy that was married 3 times. His kids hate him. He's successful, had a lot of money. He pays a lot of alimony. His kids don't want to talk to him. And he said, you know, Frank, when I was a little boy growing up, my dad told me that I'd never amount to anything. My dad told me that I was no good. And he says, and that just scarred me. He says, I've been in therapy. He says, I lived my whole life trying to prove my dad wrong. He says, my dad died when I was in my 40s. But I just kept driving. And I've made so much money, and I've been so successful. And in the midst of all that, I went through 3 wives, and my kids hate me. He says, I lived my whole life trying to prove my dad wrong. He said, I spent a big chunk of my life trying to prove a dead man wrong. And then someone was sharing Jesus with me. And he says, and I slowly became a believer in Jesus. He says, that was my own journey. It took about 10 years. And then he said, and then finally when I read stuff like this, and he quoted Matthew 18, I have to forgive my dad. He says, when I finally forgave my dad, he says, now I'm asking my kids to forgive me. He says, I've written letters to each one of my wives telling them I'm sorry. And they're all remarried for the money, you know, but I'm sorry. He says, I'm a new man in Christ. He says, Frank, look at me. I'm 66 years old. He says, I wish I could have figured this out when I was 22. And he kept looking at me saying, look at you. You're figuring this out at 22. You're going to live a great life, Frank. You're not going to screw this up. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. And when you do this, you let it go. It brings freedom. Are you carrying baggage into 2026? Are you an unforgiving person? When you don't forgive somebody, who does it hurt? You. How many marriages have been destroyed and families being rocked because of bitter, spiteful people who can't let things go? See, forgiveness is not a suggestion from Jesus. If you're doing this, guys, if this is you in 2026, and you're just going to go all through the year, and you're just going to bring your baggage with you, and all the hurts and pains of 2025, 2024, 2023, 2022, 2021, 2014, 2000, if this is just you, and it just becomes, God wants you to be free. If you don't forgive people, who does it hurt? You. And everybody that has to live with you. C.S. Lewis said something beautiful, a quote from one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century. He said this about forgiveness. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Pastor Frank, I will never forgive that person for doing that. Aren't you glad that God won't say that to you? When you realize that God has forgiven the inexcusable in your life, then you begin to learn to forgive other people. And by the way, there's a huge difference between forgiveness and trust. Does Jesus command you to trust people? Yes or no? No, trust is earned. You don't trust people. Does he command you to forgive people, yes or no? Yes, why? For you. It's you. He'll deal with them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. I'll deal with them. It's like, get out of my way. I'll deal with these people that did this to you, Frank. Get out of my way. I'll deal with it. Let it go. Sanctify Christ as Lord of your heart. It's an attitude. Lord, you are God Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the one that knit me together in my mother's womb. Every day of my life is known in your sight. Every hair on my body is numbered. You know me, and you call me to give you my heart. Here's my heart. I know you love me and you care for me. I trust you and I declare you the Lord of my heart and the Lord of my life. And Jesus says, awesome. Let's talk about the baggage. See, it says in the Bible that he stands at the door and knocks. That's Romans, right? No, that's Revelation. He stands at the door and knocks. And one day, there you are, and all of a sudden, somebody knocks at your door. And you open the door and it's Jesus. And he says, can I come in? And you say, yes. And Jesus comes into your house. I'm so honored that you'd be in my house. Let me go get you something to eat. Let me get you something to drink. And you run to the kitchen. And you come back. And as you come back, he's ripping the carpet up out of your front living room. And he's pulling out all the wallpaper. And he's hauling out all of your furniture. And you're like, whoa, 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 hey, whoa, what are you doing? He says, I'm the Lord. You've allowed me in. And I'm not living this way. And all of a sudden, Jesus slaps in some new carpet. You're like, dang, that looks good. Whoa, you punched out that wall. That looks awesome. Well, I did create the heavens and the earth, so, you know, I can do this. And the Lord starts going into the kitchen. Total remodel. And the Lord is just, and then people, he heads for the closet. Don't go in the closet. No, no, Lord. And there he is. And he opens the closet of your life. He says, I'm the Lord of your life. And let's deal with this stuff. Because I want you free. I'm the Lord. You will obey me. I am the Lord of your heart, and I am the Lord of your past. And this is my plan for how you deal with your past. Talk to people. Be right with people. If you've sinned against somebody, go tell them you're sorry. If somebody sinned against you, tell them, I want you to know that hurt me. Did you intend to do that? Talk. Be reconciled. One-on-one. Two-on-one. Man, if they're not listening, then take Pastor Graham with you. Because I'm busy. Welcome to a new year. It's 2026. Is this going to be a good year in your life? Is Jesus the Lord of your heart this year? That's your choice. Something's going to be the Lord of your heart. If he is the Lord of your heart, he's coming for the closet. And because he has your best interest in mind, he's going to tell you to let this go and deal with it one by one. Because he's the Lord of your past. We're going to sing a couple songs as we close out today. And I see you crying. I see you wiping the tears. I get it. What we want to do to start a new year, we're going to sing two songs. And if you're here today and you brought baggage and you want to leave it at the cross, in these next two songs, we encourage you to come up to the cross and to write down whatever baggage that you have and leave it at the cross. That baggage might be a circumstance, a situation, a person, but we're just going to ask you to do business with God. We want you to leave today feeling lighter and carrying less baggage. So we're going to sing a couple songs. And if you're here today and you just need to leave things in the past, then you come and it's between you and Jesus. No one's going to look at whatever is written in there, fold it up. We're throwing it away. This is between you and the Almighty. Also, if you're here today and you need prayer, you need someone just to pray over you, the leaders of the church are going to be available. Up in the balcony, I've got Doc up there, and I believe the Chows are up there down here. Leadership team's going to be present. My wife and I is willing to pray with you, anoint you with oil. Maybe there's just things. You just need the power of God to release strongholds in your life, strongholds of the past. So I'm going to ask for the leaders to come stand up. I'm going to pray for the worship team to come up. So, Father, we just commit to you this service. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask, God, for those of us in this room that are struggling, Lord God. Lord, help us to let go of the things that's hurt us so. I pray, Lord God, that you would teach us forgiveness. Lord, help us to understand how much we've been forgiven and from how all the incredible debts that you have paid in our lives. Would you teach us to let it go? I pray for peace, peace, peace. Help us, Lord, to be at peace with all people as much as it's up to us. We ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Amen. Let's sing.